Hey, blockheads, welcome back to Blockbuster Nostalgia. The movie podcast is counting down the biggest hit movies of the 1980s, one by one. I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landin.
And today we are continuing our giant mini countdown, which is contradictory, but we'll explain.
Yeah, so if you've been listening to the podcast, which I'm sure all of you have.
From the beginning.
From the very beginning. You know all these episodes, but we want to go back and kind of revisit them a little bit.
Yeah, so we're going back over the list. We're down to the final four movies of the countdown. And before we get to them, we're revisiting all of the movies and just doing a couple of quick...
The, like, 98 movies?
Quick little fun,
It's like 100 movies, right? Because we're like 105,
And we're just doing a quick little, like, hey, that was this movie. And we're going to start with episode 22.
Yeah, because we've already done 21. Yep.
So check out those ones. Episode 22, Private Benjamin with Goldie Hawn.
Oh, my God.
Now, if you remember listening to this original podcast, what, like 3 years ago or so, this movie is not great.
No. Also, one of the things about going back and kind of listening to these a little bit, man, the audio quality is not good at all.
Yeah, sorry about that, guys.
Yeah, this is before we had Alan, our sound engineer.
That's right. Thanks, Alan.
Thank you, Alan. Do we pay a lot of money to fix, fix
our
stuff now?
A lot of money.
Yeah. Before that, it was just us. We had one microphone. It was in a can.
Yep.
Because we heard
that. We spoke into a can that was connected to a string
that went
I just wrapped around a laptop and hoped that it would somehow pick it up.
And it did.
Yeah, it worked out.
It worked out all right. We were in a basement. We were in a basement at my mother's house that time.
And there was a lot of his mother screaming down at us to be quiet and cut it out with our card playing and...
Our D&D.
Our D&D, which she assumed we were playing, yeah.
She would come down sometimes with lemonade, which was nice.
Which was very nice of her,
yeah.
Cookies sometimes.
We were drunk at the time.
Of course.
So we appreciated it. But there's a lot of outtakes of me being like, get back upstairs, Ma!
This doesn't concern you!
Get back in the house, Ma!
Like, I hear a lot of F words down there.
You know how I feel about F words. Yeah. I'm like, Ma, get back upstairs.
Religious.
Yeah. But no, we've come a long way. Now we're in the studio.
Yeah, now we're in this very fancy studio.
Yeah, we have our engineer.
Alan.
Yeah, exactly.
We got Mike over there.
The producer, yes. So, Mike produces.
It's a very, very nice setup we have nowadays.
Back then, though, the quality not so good of the movie and the audio.
Yeah. No, so this movie's on a lot of lists about, you know, best comedies or 100 movies you got to watch, 1,000 movies you got to watch, stuff like that. Don't.
No, it's bad. It's she's a Jewish princess.
That's right.
Whose husband dies.
That's right.
And then a guy, is it a guy or a girl that is a recruiter?
It's the guy recruiter, yeah.
The guy recruiter tells her, like, hey, you want to come and join the army?
It's awesome.
You get to, like, party up on the beach and shit. And she's like, all right, I'll do that. So then she goes into the army and she's like, I'm prissy, I'm rich, and all this stuff, and I'm not supposed to be in this army. And they're like, yeah, you are. We're going to wear you down. And it sounded fun in theory.
Yeah, it's fun in reality a few years later when they make Stripes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Which is a much better movie about the same exact shit. Yeah. Then she falls for Armando Santi. I remember that part.
That's the worst part. So the movie, it holds together somewhat up to the point of you're like, okay, yeah, I get it. Prissy rich girl has to learn how to be a real woman and
And they're going to wear her down, but she perseveres and stuff.
And all the girls come together and they're like, yeah, we're fucking empowered military ladies. And then you're like, all right, that's cool. Wait, there's an hour left of this movie?
Yeah, and then it's like, I'm on a plane and a guy's trying to rape me. And then so then he sends her and then she becomes a fucking secretary.
Yeah.
It's weird.
It's a weird turn for a woman empowerment movie to be like, now you're a secretary that's obsessed with this guy, so you leave the army for him.
For this guy.
But
like,
he's
she
a
didn't
piece
learn
of shit
anything.
That cheats on you.
He's super controlling.
Yeah.
And then she leaves him at the very end. She runs away. She runs from the altar. She's a runaway bride.
Yeah.
She's very cute in this movie.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
It's Goldie Hawn. She's very cute. Movie, so, not funny.
I was thinking about this earlier today. Goldie Hawn, Kate Hudson. Is that the cutest mother-daughter pair in cinema history?
Well, I'm not surprised that you were thinking of that. Just for starters.
That's true.
Oh, man. Okay, so are we talking about, like, peak?
Yes.
Peak both of them? Or just... So if we're talking about prime, we're talking about prime.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
Then Debbie Reynolds and Carrie Fisher you're talking about?
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good. But I do think you're right. I do think it's Kate Hudson and Goldie Hawn.
And Goldie Hawn, yeah.
Oh, prime Kate Hudson. Prime
so
Goldie
cute.
Hawn.
Yeah.
Goldie Hawn is very cute. Kate Hudson I thought was really hot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's also to do with our age, I think.
Yeah. I also feel like we're not thinking about a lot of... What about the Angelina Jolie and John Voight, dude?
That's true.
Very sexy.
John Voight, sexy man. Yeah. That midnight cowboy.
Yeah, he's a very sexy... Look at that tall motherfucker. Yeah. He's a very sexy man. His head was a bit too big, but still, you know.
Still, it works.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know. I put that as a toss-up. I mean, again, yeah. It has to be prime Angelina Jolie, not current Angelina Jolie.
Oh, obviously, yes. It was Skeletor.
Just a corpse bride.
Yeah, exactly.
Come to life.
I guess Tim Burton probably very into current-day Angelina Jolie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah.
If you ask Tim Burton. Henry Slick, right? The fucking director.
If you ask Tim Burton right now, Angelina Jolie is
peak.
It's exactly. It's
she's everything I ever wanted. She's a skeleton, but alive.
Look at all my drawings when I was 8 years old, and they're all current day Angelina Jolie.
That's true.
Just gray skinned, weird, wispy, fucking long finger Angelina Jolie.
That's right.
Yeah. Hell of a bunch of boyfriends, though. At least that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, Piper Benjamin, no good, no bueno. We didn't like it.
Yeah, no, it sucks.
It just wasn't funny.
No, it's not.
She did a lot of weird shit.
There's 30 minutes of good movie and a 2.5 hour movie.
Yeah, I mean,
that's really what it boils down to.
Some cool stuff in there, but that's it.
That's it.
Just some Renaissance.
So the next up, episode 23, an episode I really like. It's Splash. Oh. It's Tom Hanks. It's John Candy. It's Daryl Hannah.
Eugene Levy.
It's a great movie.
It was us. It was Emma. It was Cody.
That's right.
We had Cody join up with us. This next block of episodes are the Emma episodes.
That's true.
Emma was on board a lot of these episodes. Most of them.
And in fact, she watched the movie Private Benjamin with us, hated it so much, she just left.
Yeah, she left. She wouldn't regret.
She was just like, nah, I'm good.
If you go back and listen to that episode, we talk about like how we watched it and how Emma said this like she said this and shit like that. Yeah, no, she was like, I'm not going to record this shit with you guys. Yeah, it's garbage.
Good. I'm out.
Yeah. But anyway, Splash, we were very surprised at how much nudity was in this episode. Yeah,
because it's a PG movie and a movie that I remember quite fondly as a child.
Yeah. Nipples,
butt.
Bare ass
multiple times.
And it's like really nice.
Yeah, I mean it's Daryl Hannah. It's prime Daryl Hannah. Yeah. It's the like peak like manic pixie dream girl or whatever the fuck.
Yes, in the 80s.
Yeah, yeah.
It also had it's when we first started noticing the trope of the 50s and the 80s.
That's true. Yeah,
because it starts up in the 50s.
Because for some reason he has to have a connection to him as a kid or whatever.
Yeah. No, it doesn't
matter. John Candy though, just absolutely destroying every scene he's in.
Oh, it's fucking
every
great.
Scene is just he's the alt. It's the ultimate like. Guy off the bench that gets you 30 points in 10 minutes.
And he plays Tom Hanks' brother, which is really funny. And the first scene when he's a little boy, he's like looking up skirts and shit.
Yes.
Fucking great. So Daryl Hannah he gets knocked out, Tom Hanks. She finds his wallet. And then she follows him to Earth and grows legs somehow.
Yep.
Eugene Levy's a scientist who's like, not on my watch, bitch. She says, I remember that.
He does. As he cocks his shotgun.
Yep. And then after that, it's all hiding a mermaid and having sex 4 times a day with a mermaid.
That's true.
Tom Hanks bangs down.
They really tear up that bedroom.
Which was really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then there's a part where they get a fountain in the apartment.
That's right.
But it's got a couple of my favorite things. It has John Candy getting away from federal agents with a joke. And it's fucking great.
So great.
They go in and they Shape of Water this thing. Again, if you've seen Shape of
That's
Water,
true.
It's the same fucking thing.
This is the better version of Shape of Water. Shape of it should have won Best Picture.
This is the best picture version of Shape of Water.
That's right.
But they go and they sneak in and they steal her out of the tank. And then the federal agents are running in. And who's there instead of her? John Candy
in a swimsuit fishing in a giant tank tank.
And he says like a fucking one-liner.
Yeah.
And then they're like, get out of here, you. Yeah. I was going to be mad.
Yeah.
How about you stealing the specimen that we worked very hard to get?
That's right. This one-of-a-kind specimen that just completely shatters all notion of science.
Yeah, but did you see that guy? His pants were rolled up crying out loud.
He had a fishing. Where did he get a fishing pole?
He brought it with him on the plan. It was part of the plan. I think we talked about that.
Like, to the bit.
The plan was like, all right, when we leave, you stay back.
with this
hilarious bit. Oh, and there's no way to turn that down.
Oh, it's so good.
There was also a superhuman Eugene Levy.
That's
because
right.
he sprays her with the hose and the president is there and the Secret Service can't stop him.
Yep.
And his arm is broken.
That's right.
And he is an old Jewish guy.
Yeah. I mean, young Jewish guy at this point.
No, but yeah. Yeah, but it was very funny.
He's all of 5'6", and yeah, the Secret Service has no answer.
No, there's like 18 of them, and they can't. He was like Mystic River. He's just nobody can hold him back to prove that the mermaid was real that he's been talking about this whole time.
That's right. He was powered by the truth.
No, yeah, powered by the truth of mermaids.
The truth of mermaids.
This movie
also ends with Tom Hanks living in the ocean forever.
Forever, yeah. He leaves with her. That's all
it's missing. You know, they really needed to like do the Little Mermaid sequel where it's now Tom Hanks living in the ocean, having to get along with her crazy wacky brother that's also played by John Candy. Yeah.
Fish John Candy, which is awesome. Having to deal with their crazy Jewish scientist does not believe in human beings.
He's the only one that believes breathing. In
humans. Yeah. 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 And then he has to like grow legs.
Yeah, grow fins.
Grow fins.
And then grow legs sometimes, but he has to hide when he grows his legs.
Yep, so he won't get cut. Oh, my God. It's just an opposite land.
Look, I know it's been a while, Tom, but
let's do it.
Let's get on this thing.
It's just like when Orlando Bloom showed up at the end of The Last Pirates, and I was like, oh, shit, that's right. He's supposed to come back every, like, 10 years. Yeah.
Yeah, you're like, oh, yeah, he can still do this.
Sure, why not?
He's not dead.
Yeah,
shit.
Yeah.
Still Orlando Bloom.
Tom Hanks.
I mean, John Candy, unfortunately, has left us, but you can get some other comedians in there to
We can get that one guy that played him in the Uncle Buck TV show. Which we'll talk about. We talked about it in the Uncle Buck episode. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Some weird.
But yeah, Splash is great. Definitely watch the movie and check out the podcast.
Still holds up. It's great.
It's so great.
Can we talk about Splash a little bit and the Monkey in You stuff?
Oh, shit. All right. Yeah.
Yeah. This was the episode where Emma coined Monkey in You as a thing of saying HIV.
Yep. Yeah.
There was some talk because it was the '80s and it was New York.
If you ever hear us refer to having Monkey in You,
it was just HIV. It's the notion that it came from monkeys.
Yeah.
But anyway, go back and listen. It's very funny. All right. Now let's get sad.
All right. So now the sad part. It's episode 24. It's Tom Cruise rejoining us, bring sadness
in an amazing movie.
Yeah, an amazing movie, an amazing performance. Maybe his best performance.
Did he win? He won the Oscar for it.
He was nominated.
Born on the 4th of July.
Born on the 4th of July is what we're talking about. Oliver Stone's Vietnam remembrance, not POW, but like veteran.
Yeah,
dealing with the trauma.
He goes to the army and he gets fucking shot in the back, and then he's in the wheelchair for the rest of the movie, and it's about him coming back. So this is the most serious episode that we've ever done.
Yeah.
We did very little jokes in this.
Yeah. You can't.
It was hard. It was hard because
it's a really sad and serious movie.
Fun of it.
Yeah, you can't make fun of guy who goes in the military, gets shot, and comes back in a wheelchair and has a really hard time.
And people are spitting at him and shit. Yeah. Also, it's so well directed
and acted
that there's nothing even hammy to fucking make fun of. Like, it never went over the top crazy. It did have three Baldwins in it. We talked about that, I remember.
I mean, look, when you can get one Baldwin, just double down on that shit.
Yeah, exactly. If you can get one Baldwin,
if you get one Baldwin, get Alec, obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
But if you can get more than one Baldwin, get all of the Baldwins.
Any of the other Baldwins other than Alec, if you book him, he's
They just
like,
come along.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like, hey, do you want me to call
my
brothers?
It's a buy one, get one free situation.
Is it cool if my brothers show up? And they're like, yeah, I guess bring him in. All right, cool. And then he'll call all of them, and then three of them will show up.
Right.
And then you got to tell one of them no.
Yeah.
You gotta be like, sorry, man. Sorry, Steven. You gotta hang back on this one, dude.
Steven, you can't be in this one, but I understand they're filming a very low budget cop drama down the street.
Exactly.
If you want to show up and do one scene as like a junkie, there's your chance.
Yeah, DMX is in it, so you're fine.
So you know,
it's got money.
Quality.
It'll pay. It also did have a couple of things in it that I remember I thought were funny, or we talked about they were funny. The whorehouse in Mexico, which catered exclusively to GIs who were like in wheelchairs and stuff, and paraplegics, and it was awful. But I think the general consensus is any whorehouse in Mexico is not going to be good.
Yeah, that's
fair. They're all going to be pretty bad. Yeah,
I mean, you know, I don't know that anywhere is known for its amazing whorehouses.
That's true.
It's like, oh, well, you go to Guatemala, though, and the whorehouses. Oh, boy.
Amsterdam, I think.
I guess Amsterdam.
European.
But Amsterdam's mostly known for, you know,
all the drugs.
Smoking the weeds.
Yeah.
Before we had it legal here.
Yeah. Back when it was the only place
you could. Yeah, back when that was the place.
That was like in the fucking 80s.
Yeah. There is, of course, also the very fun scene where he gets the Mantis suit from Mantis.
Oh, yeah, that's
right.
And
then he fights crime.
Yeah, that's right. And it's like the last 48 minutes.
Yeah, the last 48 minutes, he gets the Mantis suit from Mantis. If you don't remember Mantis, it was a short-lived Fox, I want to say, show.
It was like a Saturday morning.
Where a guy in a wheelchair got a suit that gave him superpowers and fought crime like Batman.
Yeah, exactly. We should be close to that in science already.
You would think. I mean, I know they have those exoskeletons that help people move like giant boxes that look like the one from Aliens.
Which is all I want ever. Which,
fucking yes.
I'll fight all the bears in that thing.
So many bears.
Which is the most fightable, the biggest most fightable biggest animal that we have.
Animal, yeah.
That we have.
You could fight an elephant, but...
But elephants are just sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just going to push them a lot. You
beat up an elephant, and that no one wants to see that.
No. You become a pariah at that point. It did also have a very awesome Tom Cruise, Willem Dafoe wheelcher fight in the middle of the street.
That's true. In the desert.
In the desert. It was like fucking great.
It is pretty great.
And that was pretty funny.
Two super committed actors.
Yeah, and fight like if I drove by and I saw that, that would be the best thing that has ever happened to me.
That's fair. That's fair.
That's ever happened to me. I've seen two homeless people fight.
Yeah,
pretty fun.
This would be better.
Yeah, I've obviously seen two chicks fight.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, obviously. We all have in our 20s. We all saw two chicks fight.
Yeah, in high school.
Yeah,
if
it's like signing up for the draft type of deal when you're 18. Yeah, when you're like 24, you get to see two chicks fight at some point.
That's true.
At least two drunk chicks fight. But yeah, other than that though, this movie very serious, very well done,
very good,
very
movie,
well acted,
very sad. So enough of depression. Now we move to episode 25, one of the all-time classic movies. Of the 80s. When you think 80s and you think like what's just a movie that you could watch over and over again that's on TBS 20 times a day.
When you're feeling like a shake it a baby.
It's Ferris Bueller.
It's Ferris Bueller, yeah.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off to be specific.
Yes. So
not to be confused with Ferris Bueller Goes to School and does his Bueller's homework.
Normal school day. Ferris Bueller took too many days off, and now he's not going to graduate, so he's fucking right. Hustling. So,
Ferris Bueller's summer school adventure, which he has to work very hard in order to graduate.
Yeah, because his parents ain't having that shit, because all his magic trickery and his fucking gadgets.
But you have failed four subjects this year if you do not go to summer school.
Yeah, there was a lot of conflict with the principal.
Yes.
This movie, we talked a little bit about in the episode about the Tyler Durden thing, where Ferris Bueller's just made up. In what's his name's head?
Yeah. Cameron.
In Cameron's head. Yeah. But there's
the mayor
also a lot
from
of
Spin City.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. There's also a lot of funny there's a lot of weird shit that Ferris does. Like when he takes what's her name out of school by pretending to be her dad.
Mia Sara,
Sara.
Seems awesome.
And then he makes out with her.
Yeah. As her dad, in front of the principal.
Yeah. Who was Jeffrey Jones.
That's right.
Also in this episode I remember talking about Jeffrey Jones as an albino rabbit.
That sounds right.
Jeffrey Jones, which look him up. Albino rabbit.
Yeah.
Also now sex offender albino rabbit. Not now, like 12 years ago.
Which is why we can say whatever we want about this motherfucker.
Yeah, because he's a sex offender. Fuck
that guy.
He had child porn. The principal is actually in the right, I think, we figured out in this episode.
Yeah, well, like most of the movies that we revisit, once we revisit them, we realize the hero's a kind of dick and the villain is actually just a responsible adult.
Yeah, he's just a guy trying to like catch this kid who's a piece of shit.
He's definitely a piece of shit.
Yeah. And then also, this is a movie that made me think that high school is going to be awesome.
I mean, because one way, yes, obviously this made me think high school was going to be way cooler than it was. Although this movie is specifically about not going to high school.
Yeah.
So
about
I may should have figured that out beforehand. Maybe if I'd put two and two together. This movie, when you really look at it, it's a movie about a guy who convinces his very ill best friend.
Yes, his
physically and mentally ill best friend to destroy his father's Ferrari.
Yep.
Run around all day, pulls his girlfriend, who's just a serious student trying to get through school, pulls her out of school, is constantly lying to his parents, is on the verge of failing all subjects.
Fucks up his sister's day, too.
Fucks up his sister's day. Also, he can...
The principal gets,
I guess, have
gets
a nice,
mauled by a dog at
a nice
some point.
Dinner that I'm pretty sure they steal.
Yes.
And then gets to dance in a parade?
And then, yeah, exactly. Gets to dance in a parade.
Ferris Bueller's a piece of shit, is what I'm saying.
He pretends to be in a... Like he pretends like he's dying.
That's right.
And they even put it up on the water tower.
Yeah.
When his friend is actually really sick.
Yeah.
Everybody's like, nah, Ferris Bueller, though. Ferris Bueller, yeah, exactly. Everybody
loves Ferris.
Him. Save Ferris. That's right. Oh, it's Ferris Bueller's a piece of shit.
I mean, it's a great movie. But John Hughes, and it's hilarious. And I love Matthew Broderick's charming motherfucker. Mia Sara's just gorgeous and endearing to hearts across the world.
What's his name in the play, Cameron?
Yeah.
I should know his name.
He's such the great, like, straight man.
This is
perfect
also,
at it.
This is also the episode where we talked about how Matthew Broderick killed a family and.
Yeah, we don't
want
to talk
paid $175, but, and that was it.
Hey, the rich live on double standards.
Go back to the episode. Yeah. Listen to the episode. Matthew Broderick killed a couple of people in a car accident, and then they fined him $175, and then he went home.
It's you good to be the king. Story. It's, yep, good to be, exactly. It's good to be Ferris Bueller. You skate through life.
Yep. He also squanders his talent of making gadgets and
that's true. He does have a lot of... The 80s were a gonzo time for those crazy... Rube Goldberg machines, yeah, of just setting incredibly complex things in motion.
He could be wargaming it.
Yeah. Oh, that's true.
But he doesn't. He's just taking off and getting in, like, partying around. They go to a museum for some reason at some point.
Yeah. That's not a thing they would do.
No.
Although they do go there ironically. So maybe they're just ahead of the curve from the millennial perspective.
The hipster stuff. Yeah, maybe.
Maybe.
He also is that guy that peaks at high school.
That's very true.
So he the
Ferris Bueller sequel would be very sad because it would just be him, like 40 years old, never graduated.
No,
he's fucking around the whole time. He probably has a really shitty job. He's married to Mia Sara, but now she's lost her looks, and she hates him though because he's dragged her down this whole time. And
bartenders are like, oh, that's Ferris Bueller. He was in a parade one time. Hey. Tell him about the parade. And then he's like, oh, yeah, it was the parade one time. Me and my buddies. And then people are like, you know what? I'm going to go outside.
Yeah.
Yeah. Halfway through your story, dude. I don't care. You're a ridiculous old man.
Yeah.
You're working a mine now.
They have two kids that hate him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I say married, two kids, immediately divorced after the second kid.
Yep.
And then the kids hate him.
Hate him. Blame him for everything, which they should.
Yeah, obviously.
It's all his fault.
Her new boyfriend is amazing. he's got a great job.
Yeah, he's like a lawyer or something.
Yeah. Yeah, he's really cool. He's not always, he's not trying to be their dad. He's just like hanging out.
Yeah,
he's being
he doesn't try so hard. He's not making up stories.
Yeah, so they like him a lot. Takes him to Disneyland. Like,
what was your high school like? He's like, I went to class. I studied a lot.
You know, college was where I really thrived. Yeah, that's why I have this degree.
Exactly. It wasn't until college that I kind of bloomed. And
yeah. So anyway, let's go to Paris this weekend. And then they all get to go, and Ferris is just at the fucking bar because, you know.
That's what he does.
Shaking a baby and all that bullshit.
So then we get to episode 26. It's Turner and Hooch. Tom Hanks back again.
Oh, shit.
Back again. And this time, instead of John Candy, he has a...
He has a slobbering...
slobbering dog.
He has a big, fat, slobbering dog.
Yeah.
This is a cop movie.
Really, John Candy could have played that role. Let's all be honest.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, John Candy in the barf outfit. Barf.
Exactly. Oh, my God, yes.
How much better would this movie be if it was just John Candy dressed like a dog like Wilfred?
But they play it straight.
From the show Wilfred. But yeah, they play it in completely straight. Like he's an actual dog.
Yeah, he's still like, don't chew up the seats.
and it's just John Candy.
They still take him to the vet and shit. Yeah. Yeah, and he's still, like, he has to find the guy that killed his friend.
Yeah, of course.
And it's still like miraculous.
Still an old man.
Still weird. Yeah.
Still have the villain.
Barf John Candy.
He still has dog babies with a dog.
At the end. Yeah. But it's little half barf.
Puppies, I guess, is what you call dog babies.
Yeah, I guess so.
Do we take actual... So what we do is we do the Lady of the Tramp thing where half of them are dogs and half of them are little babies in barf outfits.
Yeah, that's how this ends. The babies at the end aren't a mix of the two dogs. It's just a mix of the two dogs.
Like, oh, okay. It's perfect.
Like,
perfect.
It's like four of them are his breed and four of them are the girl's breed. Yeah.
Awesome. Perfect. Yeah, so like we just reverse it and just some of them are actual human babies in dog suits.
And barf suits. Yeah. And then the other ones are actual puppies.
I love this idea.
Yeah. This movie, this had Erica and Emma on it, this episode.
Double dose of lady power.
Yeah. So there was a lot of talk about his junk.
There was a lot of talk about his junk.
A banana hammock. in it. And
this is a weird thing to think about with Tom Hanks, is because there was a time, like now we think of Tom Hanks and it's like everyone's dad and he's won like 18 Oscars and he's this legendary figure, right?
Yeah.
But in the 80s, he was just the funny dude that did weird comedies.
Yeah. And he was like, and had his junk
out. Yeah. Yeah.
He has his junk out in this. It's like a perfect outline on it. And it was like if you took an inflatable bed and then deflated it and then just put a giant cucumber in there. And like that's what his banana hammock looked like.
Yeah, that's fair.
Also, I remember them saying that above average was
they were impressed with the old Tom Hanks.
But Tom Hanks works really, really hard in this movie to not get laid. That vet, I remember, was constantly trying to have sex with him. And he just was not feeling it.
Yeah.
She was kind of like just pointing at her crotch.
Yeah, she was like, hey, would you like inside of this?
Yeah, would you like to be inside here?
Yeah. And he's like, well, I got stuff to do. I gotta finish painting your house.
That's right.
She's like, no, I invited you here for sex. The paint was a lie.
That's right. She invites him over to paint her house and he shows up and he paints her house. You idiot. You're supposed to bang it down.
Ridiculous. Yeah. Ridiculous.
Yeah. The theory that could come up in this episode, if you go back and listen to it, is that Hooch is just a metaphor for his homosexuality.
I think that may have been the metaphor we came up with.
I think that's the metaphor we came up with, that he was a closeted homosexual and Hooch was just a way of him like to express himself because he couldn't do it on his own. But it does end with Hooch dying, it's very repressed. Which fucking sucks.
But then you have mini hooches.
But then we get mini hooches.
Mini hooches, yeah.
Which is, I think, like it's like a mini year hooch, later.
What I tried to call my girlfriend once, did not like it.
No.
Did not like it.
Oh, that's funny. That's what I called my wiener. Mini hooch. I should not put mini in there.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you're gonna wow them later.
Exactly.
It's like a little John. Yeah. It's ironic.
Yeah, it's ironic. Exactly. Yeah. Also, this had the first, I think, Craig T. and Val Johnson.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
And this
Reginald Val Johnson III and Craig T. Nelson.
Yeah, which are regulars on
the podcast. Sure. Regulars in our heart.
Show up all the time. But no, this is a very funny movie, despite the fact that it ridiculously has us believe that the dog is going to be able to just pinpoint who killed her its owner.
It's like, well, I'll just take this dog. The dog will know the murderer.
Yeah.
Not that the dog will freak out about, I don't know, half the people it runs into.
Exactly.
Because it's a fucking dog.
Or I feel like the dog could maybe pinpoint the murderer if he saw the murderer immediately after.
Right.
But now he's bonded with Tom Hanks. His owner is Tom Hanks now.
Yeah.
The old guy that died is long gone from his memory.
So if the dog suddenly was like, oh, I don't like that person, bark, 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 that could either be A, the murderer, or B, just somebody that smells like a thing the dog doesn't like.
Yeah, but no, Tom Hanks will just shoot that guy.
Yeah.
Or run after him through fish markets.
I mean, I guess if you want to know why a cop shoots so many black guys, it's just all dogs bark at him.
Yeah, it's just... They get dogs racist barked. Dogs.
Yeah, racist dogs. It's all those goddamn racist dogs.
And then
it's not the cops.
You just blame those guys.
Yeah.
Well, sir, the so dog.
Like a dog barked at dog you. What am I going to do? I assumed murder.
I'll allow it.
And then the judge has to go with that because the judge loves the dog.
Luckily.
How are you
going to
love a dog?
Yeah. And then he's like, all right, Mr. I don't know what you would call him. Ku Klux. All right, little Ku Klux, the dog. Like right away, first warning sign.
Yeah,
the dog's name is
Princess Fuhrer.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, all right, well, maybe
you should know the dog is racist.
Maybe that dog shouldn't be allowed into the force.
Yeah,
but,
maybe that's not the one that you choose.
So cute.
You choose to pick who you shoot.
Next up, episode 27. This is the one that I recommend at least once a year because it's our Christmas episode. It's National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Again, Emma.
Again, Emma, yes.
We recorded this episode on the hottest week of the last July. 5 years.
Yes, it was 121 degrees.
It was June, I think. But yes. It was 100, I think it was 118.
Yeah.
That day.
Yeah.
That we recorded it.
Yeah.
And it was a fucking Christmas episode.
Yep.
Ridiculous.
And of course, you have to turn off the AC to record because you don't want that AC noise.
Yeah, because
the
AC is all hum.
So, yeah.
It was rough. If you listen back to that episode.
I was delirious.
You could probably pinpoint every 10 minutes we would stop and turn the AC on.
Yeah.
And cool the room off a little bit and then do it again. But it was a Christmas episode and Emma loved Christmas. Even though we did it.
In July.
We did.
Or June.
Yeah,
or whatever.
June. We did say that we love Christmas, but we hate our family at Christmas.
I mean, I said that I hate both Christmas and my family on Christmas and all things Christmas related.
That's true. I hate Christmas.
Yeah.
But it's also, this is when we were watching and we were talking about it, this opened my eyes to how shitty Rusty's life was. Because yeah, yeah. All the stories that he has are like, one time we went on vacation and then my dad took the security guard hostage. That's and right. We got to go on the roller coaster before the police showed up. Yep. And then one time during Christmas, him and my uncle kidnapped his boss.
That's right.
Before we were raided by the SWAT team. And then one time, like, we went to Europe and the sex tape of my mom was released. Like, his very endearing, funny stories are actually really, really fucked up.
Yep.
These movies are a horrible thing for the kids.
That's true. That's why there was different kids in each one.
Yeah, because they were just like killing themselves.
Yeah, exactly. And they would just adopt new kids. You're Rusty now. My name was Mark. No, Rusty.
Rusty.
That's what you are now. Yeah. You want to be in this family.
And you'll never be as good as him. Who's he? Rusty. The old Rusty.
Ask about the old Rusty. You're like, why is his skull still there? You're like, shut up. If you don't want the same to happen to you.
To remind us of Christmas vacation.
Remind us of our amazing Christmas time
where I threatened the neighbors with a chainsaw.
And, yeah, my boss was kidnapped and
yep.
The whole neighborhood got blown up by my shitty fucking
brother-in-law.
Yeah,
the cat caught on fire and...
We all ate kitty litter.
We all ate kitty litter. It's horrifying.
Yeah.
It's terrible. It also is one of the best Christmas movies.
It is one of the best Christmas movies.
I do think that it's still, and I talk about it later on, I think in Uncle Buck or before in Uncle Buck, but it has that big problem that I have with John Hughes movies, which is fake blue collar.
Oh, very right, rich blue collar. Yeah, exactly. They're just a regular, ordinary blue collar family.
He's a working stiff,
living in an 8-bedroom house.
Mansion, 2-story 8-bedroom house.
Yeah.
And his bonus is so big that he's not only going to get a pool, but he's going to fly everybody in
to see the pool.
He's getting a 48, like in the 80s, he's getting like a $400,000 bonus.
Sure.
But he's still like a slob. He's yep. like, oh, he's just a regular guy. He can't
just
figure out the lights.
Wearing a hockey jersey.
Just like me and you.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. No, this is bullshit, John Hughes.
It is bullshit, your stupid made-up reality. Did John Hughes grow up a millionaire? I don't really know a lot about John Hughes's life. I assume he grew up incredibly wealthy.
I feel like he did. Yeah. He did. And everything, all his movies are just like shit that he came up with. Like, I wish I could experience this as life experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, Breakfast Club and all that. It also did have one of the things we talked about that I remember very specifically was when he gets locked up in the attic and then instead of trying to get out because he's going to freeze to death, he just watches movies.
That's true.
But then he falls through and then there's a poster of two turtles fucking in his son's bedroom.
That's right.
Yeah. Which I still kind of want to find that poster.
It's a good poster.
It's like two tortoises fucking. Where do you even get that poster? It's a full size poster. It's not even like a page you cut out of a thing.
Hit us up. Email blockbusterstars@gmail.com if you have a poster of two turtles doing the nasty.
Doing the nasty.
So that brings us to the last episode for this particular little adventure that we're on. It's episode 28, Ruthless People.
Ooh.
This is Danny DeVito.
Bette Midler. Judge Reinhold.
That's right. Zucker Abrams.
Helen Slater.
That's right. Yeah. Second appearance of Helen Slater. We don't talk about Supergirl in this podcast, but I feel like we talk a lot about Supergirl.
Because so sexy.
So sexy. If you were a nerd like us, that was what we had. We had like the 66 Catwoman.
We had Wonder Woman.
And the 70s Wonder Woman. And then in the 80s, it was Helen Slater.
So beautiful.
Yeah.
But this is the movie where Danny DeVito wants to kill Bette Midler, his wife, which also, other than Rhea Perlman, Bette Midler, best spouse for Danny DeVito ever.
That's true.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, you can actually see that and be like, yeah, that makes sense.
I see that and I'm like, yeah, that makes sense. I could see that. If I had to choose, I would put those two together.
Right.
Yeah.
Compare that to twins when you're like,
When his wife, like, no way.
Probably not.
Unless you're a multimillionaire, which you're not in twins.
Which you're not. I mean, but he's a hustler.
He's a hustler.
He's a con artist.
Yeah, maybe he just cons.
Maybe he just conned it into it.
He goes.
But still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, he hates Bette Midler, his wife.
Right.
And then she gets kidnapped by Judge Reinhold and Helen Slater.
That's right.
And then he's like, fuck yeah, keep her.
Yeah.
And it's a series of events. It also had an animated opening sequence.
That's true.
With a Mick Jagger song.
Oh, that's right. Not a Rolling Stones song, a Mick Jagger song. First of all, 80s Rolling Stones, not very good.
No.
And 80s Mick Jagger away from Rolling Stones.
Way not good.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. It's, bad.
Yeah, it's a copy of a copy of a copy at that point.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a series of hilarious comedic events with a lot of awesome Danny DeVito in it. A lot of Danny DeVito not wanting to pay the money.
That's true.
And then at the end, Bette Midler gets like super skinny and she still looks exactly the same.
Yeah.
But she starts like a clothing fucking...
She starts a clothing line with Helen Slater because she was a clothing designer that nobody appreciated.
Yeah.
Now Bette Midler's rich and they become a whole thing and the kidnappers. You know, it really teaches you that all you really need to do in this life is kidnap a rich person and convince them you're cool.
Yeah, because actually the really good guys in this movie are the kidnappers. Yeah. Bette Midler, the victim, is actually a hard bitch.
Yeah.
There's parts where Helen Slater's like, she's being so mean to me. And Judge Reinhold's like, you kidnapped her. You're the kidnapper. She's supposed to be mean to you.
That's true.
It's just getting under your skin.
But you feel bad for Helen Slater because, first of all, she's adorable.
Yeah, and gorgeous
and all that stuff.
But they're the nice guys.
They're nice people. Yeah.
It also had a Bill Pullman as like the weird like guy. He was like one of the bad guys. But it, and then also had zero cocaine for... Danny DeVito being a multimillionaire in this movie?
Being definitely on cocaine this whole movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No cocaine in the movie. We also talked about Alan Moore a little bit in this. And
why did we talk about Alan Moore?
I don't even know. But I do remember the joke, which was, if you look up Charles Manson on Google, Google will be like, did you mean Alan Moore?
I'd forgotten that joke, but it's good.
It's good. But he looks like that. I don't even know why.
Exactly looks like that. Yeah.
They were talking about rights. Some sort of movie rights.
Yeah.
Probably.
You know. Alan Moore's never too far from my heart or my brain. So, you know.
Again, this was pre-Alan, before he did all the sound engineering.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Yeah. This is an old episode. Before Alan.
But it's pretty good. It's me and Emma. Yeah. So go back and listen to that. It's actually a pretty good episode.
So we'll be back next week to talk about another 7 classic movies and classic episodes. But until then, definitely hit us up on the Instagram. We're all over Instagram.
Yeah.
We're all over Facebook. We're all over Gmail.
Yeah.
We're not all over Gmail, but, you know, you can email us.
Email us. It'd be nice. Yeah. Share, comment, like, tell your friends.
Tell your friends. Until then, this is EG Sites.
I'm Francisco Landia.
Wishing you a good night and a good journey.
We love you.